last-minute shows. The WUSB Concert Billboard is a service of WUSB Stony Brook, 90.1 FM. Please give generously to WUSB, either at WUSB.FM online or by calling 631-632-6901. Thank you for your support.
And it's 1 minute after 6 o'clock. You're listening to WUSB Stony Brook Time once again for Off the Wall. And good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Manuel Goldstein here with you on this Tuesday evening, joined by Kyle.
Hi, everybody.
Well, it's another week in the old fundraiser is upon us, and we did really well last week, I have to say. But we can do better. In fact, we've already gotten a pledge, believe it or not, because there are a number of people who are kind of disappointed and angry and upset that they didn't take advantage of what we offered last week. So we took pity. Well, maybe pity's not the right word, but we took sympathy on them and decided to extend it to this week as well. And people who called in begging and pleading, we extended the offer that we had last week, but only for this hour from 6 to 7. So if you're listening, if you got our Twitter message, if you are on the IRC channel, if you're in any number of the bars and taverns that simulcast us when we're on the air nationwide, this is your opportunity to call 631-632-9872. And most importantly, the most important thing is to show support for the radio station, keep the radio station on the air, get us in good shape for the challenges ahead, including moving to a brand new facility, because this building that we're in will soon be destroyed. But we must have a strong showing in order to know that there are people out there who care enough to keep the station going in a good way. 631-632-9872. Now, what are we offering for those of you who may not have listened last week? We have a 20-plus DVD set of some of the best talks at our HOPE conferences, Hackers on Planet Earth. Look, there's a phone call already. Basically, Hackers on Planet Earth is a conference that's been taking place since 1994. And you realize, Kyle, if the phone rings again, you're going to have to leave.
Yeah, I will. All right. Just let me over that. All right.
631-632-9872. Hackers on Planet Earth started in 1994. It was basically a way for us to sort of give back to the community by having these gatherings of people from the hacker community where we could share all kinds of ideas in a rather large setting. Not like the 2600 meetings, which are a dozen or two people showing up first Friday every month. This is something a lot bigger. 1994 was the first really big hacker conference in this country. I've been to a couple in Holland, and it was very inspirational to see what could be done over there. And we brought that knowledge back to this country. Now there are a bunch of rather large hacker conferences, and that's great. And we continue to have really inspiring talks at them, things that people walk away from changed and inspired and with fresh ideas. It's a really cool thing to be able to do. But we're able to extend that even further because we record these talks on video, and we make them available in all kinds of different ways. This is one of the methods that we're doing it. This particular radio program. Basically, we've had keynote speakers at all the conferences. We've had 8 conferences so far. We've had can you name them, Kyle? Name the conferences in order?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's hear. And, okay. And folks at home, take notes because right. We should all know this by now.
Okay, HOPE 94.
No, okay, right away you're wrong, because we didn't call it HOPE 94.
I'm sorry, HOPE.
It was basically the first one, and as far as we knew, it was going to be the only one, was called Hackers on Planet Earth, and it spelled out HOPE.
Right.
So if you want to be technical about it, probably Hackers on Planet Earth is the legal term.
All right, so HOPE, Hackers on Planet Earth,
mm-hmm.
Beyond HOPE,
okay.
H2K.
Should I? Yeah, you know what? I'm going to add something to this. Please name the year that each one took place.
Okay.
HOPE, obviously, it was 1994.
Hackers on Planet Earth in 1994.
Right.
Beyond HOPE in 1996.
No. No.
8.
No. You're
9.
Wrong. He's just getting wrong. No, 1997 was when that one was. 3 years after the first one.
Okay, that's a fluke, though, because thereafter they're always biannual or every other year.
Well, not really, because the next one was also 3 years from then. H2K took place, obviously, because of the name in 2000. But from that point on, yes,
okay.
It was every 2 years.
All right, when we get the first three.
See, it's complicated, folks, and having these DVDs will help you never make the mistakes Kyle's making right now.
Okay.
631-632-9872. We have open phone lines. That means anybody who calls in will get through right away.
Hackers on Planet Earth,
mm-hmm.
in 1994.
Yes.
Beyond HOPE in 1997.
Correct.
H2K in 2000.
That's right.
H2K2 in 2002.
That name really annoyed a lot of people, H2K2.
H2K2.
Of course, they all thought that 2004 would be called H2K4, but they were wrong.
No, because it was called...
Yeah, what was it called, Kyle? What was it called? 2004. Come on, quickly.
Fifth HOPE.
That's great. Yeah, okay, you're right. I had to think about it too.
Fifth HOPE in 2004.
2006 was...
HOPE number 6.
HOPE number 6. Then 2008 was...
The Last HOPE.
The Last HOPE. But it wasn't the Last HOPE. It was only the most recent HOPE until the next one came along, which was called...
The Next HOPE
in 2010.
Yeah, 2010.
And we have HOPE number 9 coming up next year. So, yeah, it's we always have fun with the name. It's not like your conference that just puts a number after it. No, we don't do that. We have all kinds of... but, you know, there's even more fun in the talks, and that's sort of what we're pushing here tonight.
And HOPE being one of the first conferences in the U.S. is really exciting because it always had unexpected talks.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's that way to this day, and definitely we're foreseeing that in the event we're planning, and in the next HOPE and the last HOPE, the previous couple events. We've always had really unexpected talks, and they've always really been future-forward and about issues and technical and social stuff, but all stuff that's sort of off the beaten path, sort of not your typical, even these days, your typical hacker fare.
Uh-huh.
It's something appealing, something maybe hackers hadn't been thinking about, but 2600 and our community has sort of reached out and brought in more new ideas, and that's really, I think, what encompasses HOPE, and
yeah.
You can get these.
And you know what? I've been remiss in neglecting to mention a very important detail. How much must you pledge in order to get this?
Yes.
And that is a pledge of $75 gets you... You know, and I also left out something important. A pledge of $75 gets you All of the keynote talks from all of the 8 conferences, as well as featured talks, which are basically luminaries that stop in for various seminars and talks and things like that. 18 talks altogether, over 20 DVDs, but I left out something else. You also get the Hacker Calendar, the brand new Hacker Calendar, autographed by Kyle, Dave, and myself, Dave being the other photographer involved in that. And that is a full-size wall calendar that has all kinds of technological pictures, but in addition, just about every day of the year has something that happened in the hacker world, whether it be the day that Google was founded, or the day that Thomas Edison invented something, or the day that LulzSec hacked a website. You know, all kinds of things that happened in the hacker world are related to what we're interested in, and it's all marked down as a historical text, I guess. So you get that calendar. You get an autographed wall calendar along with the 20-plus DVD set. Or if you pledge $125, you get all the above plus an entire archive of the other radio show, Off the Hook, which takes place on Wednesday nights. Won't be taking place tomorrow night. We're preempted again. But it takes place most Wednesday nights, and that show has been a real time capsule of hacker history. We've had almost everybody on there that is anybody in the hacker world, and we've documented all kinds of news stories as they've gone by. And it's really incredible just to go back and listen to those. The show started in 1988 and has gone on pretty continuously ever since. And you'll get every single show from 88 to the end of 2010 if you pledge $125, and you'll also get the Hope Keynote Series along with featured speakers, and you'll get the Hacker Calendar. It's a really, really good deal, which is why we don't offer it very often. It's only available until 7 o'clock, and it's 6:13 right now. So give a call. Finn's not doing anything in there. Look at that. 631-632-9872. Please make him scramble a bit. Jump for those phones. Get a few phones ringing, and we'll have a dilemma here on our hands. 631-632-9872. Now, I think it would be wise for us to show the folks what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Just give them a taste of what these talks and seminars are all about. Now, keep in mind, you hear Hacker Conference, you think a whole bunch of geeks with thick glasses and whatever else they're associated with. No, it's not that. It's a lot more diverse and interesting, and all kinds of things are happening. You get people from all different walks of life, all different perspectives. And in this particular case, we broke ground in 2000 on a whole new, I guess, way of presenting things when we invited Jello Biafra to be our keynote speaker. And since then, he has been back, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4 times, 4 separate times, to speak at the Hope Conference because he enjoyed it so much. Now, you will get all of those talks. You'll get the keynote address in 2000. You'll get his talk in 2000 and he wasn't there in 2002, was he? He was there in 2004, 2006, and 2008. So you'll get all of those talks. Jello Biafra, former lead singer from the Dead Kennedys, in case you didn't know, Holiday in Cambodia, that kind of thing.
His roundups are famous now. I mean,
yeah.
Basically he started doing these keynotes, and now it's a pretty famous feature of Hope, the sort of year in review, the roundup, a la Jello Biafra, you know, from his perspective. And it's really an amazing, amazing bit of information. If you've been paying attention to the news and stuff, he generally sums up quite a bit of things and information and really makes it an entertaining talk.
We call it the Jello Biafra State of the World Address.
Right.
And basically every year he comes in and just gives his impressions of various things that are going on. Some of it having to do with technology, some of it not having to do with technology, but the people in the audience are always fascinated by the whole thing and just taking it all in, learning, listening, exchanging ideas and things like that. And I think it's a real a testament to what we do. When someone like Jello finds it so much fun that he wants to come back year after year, and that seems to be the case with so many people. So once again, the Hope package, the Hope keynote package with all kinds of different speakers, everyone from Steve Wozniak to Kevin Mitnick to Jello Biafra and Dan Kaminsky, Adam Savage, people like that. All yours for a pledge of $75, and we also will throw in an autographed hacker calendar. For a pledge of $125, you get all the talks, 18 talks, hacker calendar, and you'll get more than 20 years of radio archives through Off the Hook. That's for a pledge of $125. And every pledge $25 and above, by the way, will get the autographed hacker calendar. So phones are open, 212. How can you have a 212 number? That's wrong.
No,
I'm sorry.
That's not,
no,
that's
I forgot
right.
The other radio station
631.
Number. 631-632-9872. Well, that'd be something if I gave out the wrong number and all the pledges went to the wrong place. 631-632-9872. That spells 631-632-WUSB.
Please call in.
All right, let's go to 2008. Listen to what Jell-O had to say about the state of the world then. Now, keep in mind, there was a presidential election taking place. Barack Obama had not yet been elected president. We still had George W. Bush. War in Iraq was going on. Let's listen in. 631-632-9872.
Have you ever wondered who the Eraserhead baby would be as an adult? Well, I have. And the answer is right in front of us. It's so obvious. Think about this for a minute. John McCain! I mean, some of these are so obvious. Like, most of you have seen, what's the name of the TV show on Comedy Central where the woman gets out of jail and goes back to high school? Yeah, Strangers with Candy, Jerry Blank, Nancy Pelosi. I mean, think about that one. You'll never be able to look at one without thinking of the other ever again.
Our main purpose is to get the troops out of Iraq, but we have to vote by money because that supports the troops.
No, it doesn't. It supports Halliburton, and they all know that. And Pelosi was well aware of waterboarding for years in intelligence briefings and did nothing about it. The Eraserhead baby, the elderly Eraserhead baby, among other things, he wants to kick Russia out of the G8, legalize hate crimes in possession of a machine gun, and voted for the Military Commissions Act, the one that legalizes torture, waterboarding, rendition, where you kidnap somebody from one country and torture them to another, and legalize military tribunals where the defendant isn't allowed to see the evidence, and no appeal, they just kill you. In other words, all the things we had in World War II to stop the Nazis from doing to us. I mean, anybody who supported the Military Commissions Act ain't no better than a Nazi, as far as I'm concerned. And there's some Democrats on that list, too. McCain also says that Christians are more fit. God, I got to get my imitation of these guys down. I need chewing tobacco in my jaw for him, but are more fit to be president of the United States. Since this nation was founded primarily on Christian principles, I prefer someone who has a solid grounding in my faith. So, that means we're all going to vote for Ron Paul, right? Well, okay, I don't understand the gaga thing about Ron Paul. He's good on the war and he's good on drugs, but check out his views on abortion. Check out his views on immigrants. Check out the attacks he made in the 90s on gays, Jews, and especially African Americans, claiming the Rodney King riots ended only because it came time for the blacks to pick up their welfare checks. Yeah. He told Tim Russert last December, you know, the talking onion on Meet the Press, who died recently, that the 64 Civil Rights Act was a violation of property rights and that Lincoln started the Civil War to get rid of the original intent of the Republic. Although he may be right on that one, it was white slave owners who wrote the Constitution and said that only white male landowners could vote way back when. We've had a breather during the dark days of Bush because so many other things are going so bad from the so-called culture wars, where every year or two you'd have things like Tipper Gore blaming Judas Priest and Ozzy for teen suicide and juvenile delinquency, then realizing black faces scare parents even more and going after Public Enemy, then Joseph Lieberman, your friend and mine, holding hearings in the Senate on why Marilyn Manson caused the Columbine shootings and all. Well, you know, attacks on our freedom to read, listen, and think. And no matter which one of these clowns becomes president, that is coming back. Obama has said about games and the content, as far as taking away the edgier content that he doesn't happen to like, if the industry fails to act, then my administration would. While McCain has been a co-sponsor over the years of the Media Marketing and Accountability Act, co-sponsor Joseph Lieberman, you know, Al Gore's vice president, who's now a little parrot wherever McCain goes, you always see him in the picture and stuff. The Media Marketing and Accountability Act is a one-size-fits-all rating system for movies, DVDs, music, and games, much nastier and more explicit and strict than the tipper sticker, the explicit lyric parental advisory. It said that anybody who doesn't use the rating system, their products automatically become illegal. And if you try to, you know, in other words, everything I've ever done. And if you try to sell something without the mark of the Lieber Beast, you can be fined by the Federal Trade Commission $11,000 per unit sold per day. Last time that bill came up, it had a third sponsor, Hillary Clinton. Surprise, surprise. But beware of the enemy of my enemy is my friend. Is Obama the anti-Hillary? Judging from his voting record, I'm not even sure that's true. Granted, it would be kind of cool to have somebody in the White House whose first name rhymes with Iraq, whose middle name is Hussein, and his last name rhymes with Osama. And luckily, they're giving us another choice besides two royal dynasties, Bush Incorporated and the Hillbillies. But Obama looks all the more attractive as a leader precisely because he's never actually led. No defining issue or accomplishment except, he's so cool! He's so cool! How can you not dig him? He's like the audacity of hope! Change we can believe in as long as it isn't too specific. He's so cool! And he is cool when you see him on TV. He's a wonderful speaker, comes across as a cool guy you could actually hang out and talk to, if only that was reflected in his voting record. Obama voted to make the Patriot Act permanent. Obama came out against the war early in 2002, but then when he was in a position of power, he keeps voting money to continue the war when he finally has the power to cut it off. And watch his language on the war very carefully. He's a very clever lawyer, after all. He says that my first act will be to tell the Pentagon to find a way to end the war. Withdraw the troops. To where? Ending the war does not mean taking the troops out. And Obama has also said he doesn't really want to take the troops out. He wants to leave as many as 80,000 of them and calls for protecting American enclaves like the Green Zone. Yo, the Green Zone belongs to the Iraqis. We stole it. It's at least, what, a third of the size? The Green Zone isn't Obama. Saddam's palace, the few buildings like they show in the aerial photo, I've seen one of the whole thing, and it's maybe a third the size or more of Manhattan. It's all the downtown real estate, and we stole it all. People can't drive to work on all the boulevards anymore. It doesn't belong to us. We need to leave. And surely he's aware that we've put almost $800 million into the largest embassy ever built by a factor of 10, right along the river in the Green Zone, although it's a tiny dot on the Green Zone photo, even though it's, what, the size of 80 football fields. 3,000 Americans expected to work there, wall 20 feet thick around it, got its own missile system inside, its own water supply, its own electricity supply, since we never bothered to fix the Iraqis, just gave money to Bechtel. They didn't fix it, and that was the end of that. And basically, but what is the state of the Iraqis when it's the closest thing to us finishing a project on time? The real goal, and Obama and Hillary and Pelosi know it, is to never, ever leave. I mean, at least Ted Koppel was honest on Charlie Rose a few nights ago, and he said, well, you know, the talking walnut or the clamshell on his head and stuff, but we have to have 50,000 troops somewhere in that area, and we have nowhere else left to go. How about the Iraqis? Even the puppet we put in as a so-called president is telling us to get out now. And many of you know that Obama completely reversed course with a calculated stabbing in the back of every single person in this room, where after initially threatening to filibuster the new law legalizing all of the NSA's illegal wiretaps on people and letting the phone company off the hook for spying, phone companies off the hook for spying on us as well, he turned around and voted yes and gave Bush and Cheney damn near everything they wanted and a lot more than they expected. Legalizing the exact same crimes that got Nixon thrown out of office during Watergate. And don't forget, when it was revealed that Bush was doing this, they took a poll, I think it was CNN, and over half the country wanted Bush impeached at that point. But oh no, Jerry Blank, Nancy Pelosi, like, you're impeached, it's off the table. Support the troops. In 06, it was a little different. Obama, with all his glow and halo, no more illegal wiretapping of American citizens. No more ignoring the law when it is convenient. No one should get a free pass to violate the basic civil liberties of the American people. Not the President of the United States, not the telecom companies that fell in line with warrantless surveillance programs. But now, the NSA can just go after everybody like a vacuum cleaner. And then they have a new problem. They've got so much data. How do you find somebody bad in there? That's why they didn't find the 911 hijackers ahead of time. It wasn't some badass conspiracy. It was Spinal Tap. And they'd overspied on people so much, it was like looking for a needle in a football stadium. Now we get more of that. But at least some of the phone companies did their patriotic duty and cut off the FBI's wiretaps when they forgot to pay the phone bill.
All right, we're going to cut in right there. This is Jello Biafra speaking in 2008 at the Last Hope Conference in New York City. Only one of 18 talks that you'll get for a pledge of $75 to 631-632-9872. 631-632-WUSB. We've had a couple of calls since we started playing that, and I want to thank those people for calling in. We're just shy of $300 for the hour, which is great. But we want to break 500, we want to approach 1,000, we want to flirt with that number there. And I think we can do it with our listeners, knowing there are people out there. Jello Biafra always gives a great talk, and if you're a fan of his, this package is amazing because you'll get four of his talks from the years 2000, 2004, 2006, and 2008. So he'll basically be rounding up what the world is like in that particular period of time. In his own unique style. But it's not just Jello. It's people like Robert Steele, Brock Meeks, Aaron Magruder, Steve Wozniak, Kevin Mitnick, Stephen Levy, Adam Savage, Jacob Applebaum, Dan Kaminsky, and more. It's basically the keynotes and featured speakers of the Hackers on Planet Earth conference taking place over the past nearly 20 years, and quite a lot of perspective that you get on things going on in the world. Plus, you'll get the Hacker Calendar, autographed Hacker Calendar, with all kinds of events for every single day of the year, just about. Every single day of the year, practically every day, is filled with something that has happened in the hacker world. For a pledge of $125, you'll get all of that, the Hacker Calendar, the 18 Hope Talks, and you'll, in addition, get a full archive of the Hacker Radio Show Off the Hook, which airs on WBAI from 1988 to the end of 2010. It'll keep you busy for a very, very long time listening to all of that material.
That'll fill up any kind of media device you have. And this stuff is unlocked and free if you want to put it on your radio and your mm-hmm. car or wherever you listen to things or watch things best. You can load it up, fill up the device, and sit back and enjoy all of this stuff that we're offering tonight.
Yeah, it's quite a deal. It comes on all these DVDs with audio files, MP3s, in full FM broadcast quality sound. That's audio. The talks are all video, so you'll get to see what Jello is talking about and what all the other speakers are talking about. But again, we're only offering this deal during this hour, during Off the Wall, taking place right now. Give a call to 631-632-9872. But the most important reason why you should be calling in is because radio stations like WUSB are a dying breed. And you simply have to look around you to realize that's the case. If you go below 92 on your FM dial in the United States, that's where non-commercial radio generally is kept. And you'll find, and it's certainly been the case here on Long Island, you'll find that one by one, these stations, these independent voices, either of universities or communities, are being picked off. Why? Because they can't afford the rent, they can't afford the transmitter bill, they basically fall into disrepair one way or another, and it's just too challenging. Used to be that we were able to get all of our expenses met by the university, by the students here. Not the case anymore. It's a real struggle to survive, and that's why we turn to the entire community, not just our listening community for the signal, but the internet community as well, people all over the world who call in and support this place. That's what keeps us strong. But if you look around the FM dial here on Long Island, you'll see that stations have just disappeared. CW Post used to have a station. Southampton used to have a station. They still do, but they're NPR stations now. Other stations taken over by religious groups or just sold to the highest bidder. It's really sad. It's never been the case here at WUSB because we really believe in what we do, and with your help, we can do this for many, many years to come.
And a lot of those stations, yeah, they're still around, but they don't have live DJs.
Mm-hmm.
Where else can you call into a station, request a song, and actually talk to the on-air personality?
I guarantee if you call 631-632-9872 now, you'll get somebody who's here now. It's simple enough.
It's not just a computer playing a bunch of playlists. It's actual people picking songs, going through new releases, stuff that's being sent in,
right.
And you know, talking about pertinent issues in the world, we having good discussions.
So many CDs in the week. I was wondering if you might stand up, and there's a case of CDs in back. Could you knock them over just so that we could hear how many CDs hit what? No. You know, no, they don't let me have any fun around here. But it's to make a point. I would pick most of them up. Let's talk about this afterwards. But the point is, we have a lot. Maybe you could run your finger through them or something, just make a noise.
Can you hear me over here?
Yeah, try. Yeah, that's the sound of somebody running their finger through brand new CDs. We have a lot of old CDs that we keep everything. We keep everything, and that allows us to play all kinds of music of one sort or another. Nothing is deemed below us or not worthy. We leave it up to our DJs. There is no playlist. There's no rule saying you must play this or that. Everybody is their own programmer.
Hey, and can we also reiterate something we touched on last week
mm-hmm.
about the exciting possibility of moving some of this equipment and the space we use into an entirely new facility. I think that's something I just recently heard,
yeah.
And our listeners were just brought into hearing about that last week, and I think that's a really exciting thing. And if you appreciate the content that we're offering tonight in these packages, and if you appreciate these shows and other shows on the station, we want to bring you into that and have you share the excitement for the possibility of moving into a brand new facility. But we really need a strong show of support for this fund drive, and your suggestions and encouragement to keep things organized and keep it from being in disarray, so that we can make that move in a nice way and have that new facility.
We don't have any calls though. I mean, does nobody care about that?
Well, what was the phone number? I mean, yeah.
631-632-9872. I say it in my sleep now, but
they're not excited about the move.
I mean, yeah, do you like commercial radio? Do you like hearing what's in the rest of the dial? Do you like just listening to an iPod or watching MTV or something like that? They don't play music anyway. You know, what's the point? Where can you go to hear alternative voices these days? It's yeah, you got to search it out on the internet, but you got to wade through all the noise and to find anything worthwhile. Here at USB, well, we always have something going on, and the phone lines are always open for people to call in and sometimes be on the air themselves. But,
did you know,
if no one's out there, what's the point?
Did you know that on this station they play vinyl, too, sometimes?
I know that,
There's actual turntables here.
There's two turntables right there, two turntables and a whole record library filled with vinyl down the hall.
And I've seen this library. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is shelves and shelves and walls of 12-inch vinyl records. And I got to say...
10-inch, too, and 7-inch.
Oh, I bet. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and they play them at different speeds, obviously, yes.
Well, we play them all sorts of different speeds, yes, but we do have different kinds of vinyl as well.
But how many stations are still keeping that alive? I mean, that's the acoustic value, the vintage recordings and stuff, and that's awesome, and that's only... It's only the type of thing you get at a station like this where we keep that alive.
We mix the old with the new.
Absolutely. We keep traditional radio. We keep
I was talking about the staff I was talking about. But the music, too, I realize it could apply to that as well. Yes.
Well, it's good. Yeah, that's absolutely. You raise another good point. Not just mixing up the media and the sounds, but also the talent. I mean, we've got... you know, a lot of people who've been here for quite a while, and then we've got students coming in, learning for the first time. I had a little bit of exposure to radio, and I'd listened to this show and a lot of other radio for quite a long time, and then I was able to have the opportunity to join you and help out with some of this stuff. And I'd never in a million years thought that I would be on air on a show that I enjoyed so much, just talking about what I see or having a conversation with you or like I am now, relaying my enthusiasm for a venue and a resource such as WUSB.
I think we've all felt that magic. I mean, back in the 70s and 80s when I first got involved, I didn't think I would ever be on the radio either. It's just something that, you know, ask yourself, do you have access to a facility where you can actually walk in, be welcome, be trained, and find yourself on the radio broadcasting, not just to the internet, and there's nothing wrong with the internet, but it's not radio. Radio is actually where people can just drive randomly with old-fashioned radios and find you by accident and say, hey, that's pretty good, or that's really awful, or something like that, but just basically you can reach them and touch them. That's the magic of radio. That's something that's drawn all of us in, and that's what we're trying to preserve here. 631-632-9872. I want to thank Johnny from Bayshore and Eric from Caledon, Ontario. Hopefully I'm pronouncing that right. So that gives you an idea of the range of our signal, but I know there's people overseas, and there's more people in this country, and there's certainly more people in the local listening area that can give a call to 631-632-9872. If you're in the area, you don't have to dial the 631. Yeah, we don't have to dial the area code here. But the full phone number is 631-632-9872. Now, I want to go back to the HOPE conferences because I want to give an idea of some of the things that we're offering tonight. Again, you'll get 18 talks from the various HOPE conferences, all keynotes and featured speakers. For a pledge of $75, you'll get that, plus the hacker calendar autographed by Kyle here, who took half the pictures, Dave, who took the other half, and me, who supervised the whole thing.
Oh, yes, you are the conductor.
And, well, I did a lot of research for the dates, too.
Absolutely.
Every single day of the year seems to have something going on in the hacker world.
And that was an incredibly fun project.
And it was something that really opened up my eyes, made me realize how significant it all is. Anyway, you get all of that for $75. For $125, add in over 20 years of off-the-hook radio archives on DVD as well. And you got pretty good packages here, but please give a call. We need to raise more. We're at a fairly good pace, but not good enough. 631-632-9872. Now, we just heard from Jello Biafra. I'd like to go to the other side of the political spectrum because we do have different sides represented. People sometimes violently disagree with each other, but they all listen, and I think that's the important thing here. This is Steve Rombaum, who does a talk every single conference about privacy. He's a private eye. He's one of the best private eyes in the world, and he can find out anything about you without you wanting him to quite easily. Let's listen. But please, while he's on, give a call to 631-632-9872.
I am Steve Rombaum, and this talk is Privacy is Dead, Get Over It. Today, in the expanded amount of time that they've given me, I and Rick Dakin and a few other people who will be joining me on the podium hope to give you an overview of what's changed in the past 10 years with databases, privacy, investigation, just how much of your life is out there on display. The first thing that I want to tell you is, with any starting point, your name, your address, your phone number, if you call me and your number accurately comes up on my caller ID, within 30 seconds, I know your name, your address, your social security number, your date of birth, your sex, your driver's license number, and your criminal record. Given about 5 minutes, I know a lot more. Marriage and divorce, employment, corporations, property, lawsuits, your photo. Everything today is now available if you know where to look. And not just the things that you would expect, not just identifier information, not just residence, not just employment, but without leaving my desk as an investigator, it's possible for me to determine if you're gay or straight or bi, if you're black or white or Hispanic or Asian, if you're a Republican, if you're a Democrat. Everything that there is to know about you is cataloged and indexed and cross-referenced and available. Now, part of what this fellow sitting right here is Rick Dakin, who is arguably the bravest guy in the room, as you're going to see. Rick, now, by the way, just a show of hands. How many of you were at the talk at the Stevens Institute? Okay, about 15%. For those of you that were at the Stevens Institute talk, some of this is going to be familiar, about 20% of this talk. 2 years ago, I went on the Off the Hook radio program, and I asked for a volunteer, a privacy victim, somebody who would let me do, as I called it, a digital proctology exam, and really determine everything that there is to know about them. Rick, as you're going to see, not only signed the most incredible waiver that ever existed, but allowed me to look into every bit of his life. And in a period of about 4.5 hours on a Wednesday morning, from breakfast until lunch, I'm going to show you what we were able to find out about Rick. Now, before we continue, let me tell you what we're going to cover today. We are not going to cover government databases. We're not going to cover NCIC or TECS or NLETS or any of the FinCEN stuff or the new fusion centers that are being put together or anything like that. We are going to cover private databases, and we're going to do that for two reasons. Number one, I want to give you a sense of what's out there. Number two, today the government, when it investigates you, more and more and more it outsources your privacy invasion. It calls ChoicePoint, it calls Accurate, which are, by the way, now the same company. It calls private individuals such as myself. The first thing that's changed, now I've been giving this talk since the first HOPE convention. And let me tell you what has changed in the past 10 years. What's dramatically changed. First of all, computing power and speed, obviously. I have in my office today, running a database called peoplefinder.net, more computing power, more storage space, and more individual records than the FBI had in their computers 15 years ago. Everything has changed. It is now possible to put together a database that 20 years ago would have been a fantasy for the FBI. Digitalization of everything. It used to be that if somebody wanted your medical records in a computer, they would have to sit down and key them in, or they would have to scan in paper files. Everything now at the point of origin is digital. It goes into the databases immediately. Everything from when you buy something with a credit card, when you make a phone call, when you call an 800 number, when you renew your driver's license, when you get a passport, all of that is in the database instantly. When you use a MetroCard, when you use an iPass, the stuff that's not in the database because it's too old, it's being OCR'd, it's being scanned in and entered into the database at blinding speeds. And the main reason is the hardware lets you do it in a way that was unimaginable 10 years ago. Just for grins, British Telecom took all their own phone books and in 1 week scanned them into the database. You can now look up somebody's phone number from 100 years ago. Cell phones. We're going to talk about cell phones a lot today. But cell phones change everything. I am able to know who you talk to, where you are, what you do, what you like, who you hang out with, just from your cell phone. Cross-referencing and artificial intelligence scripts. It's no longer enough just to have the data to say, this is Bob's driver's license, this is Bob's social security number, this is Bob's telephone number. Now, when your telephone number comes up on my caller ID, also on the computer comes up your name, your address, your driver's license number, more often than not your phone number, businesses that are cross-referenced. Everything is linked together. What's the reason for all of this? Because your life, your history, what you like, what you dislike, what you might buy, where you might travel, what I can sell you is worth billions of dollars. The main thing that's changed, other than self-contributed data, cell phones, cameras, and precision targeted marketing. We're going to cover these three things today in some length. Each of these deserve their own seminar, as you're going to see. The main thing that's changed is attitudes towards privacy and attitudes towards data. If the boneheads of New York Magazine can figure out that privacy is dead, it's dead and buried. People put things up on their MySpace page today that when I was a teenager, when I was 25, I wouldn't have dreamt of telling my closest friend. But I can go on a MySpace page today and find out, what's your sexual orientation? What drugs do you do? How many people did you have sex with last week? And where? Now, when I talk about ridiculous self-contribution of data, the perfect example is Twitter. You know, if somebody told me about Twitter, I would have thought it was a joke. We're going to put up a website where people can post every 15 minutes what they're doing. Guess what? 40 million contributors. Now, as an investigator, thank you very much. But as somebody over the age of 40, I don't get it. First of all, I don't believe anybody would care where I am every 15 minutes. And if they do, they're a stalker. Why would I want to tell them? But this is what's going on. I will read you some of this. And it's ridiculous. 13 hours ago, watching Malibu's Most Wanted. 11 hours ago, I got my bumpers to glow to the max. 10 hours ago, just woke up, listening to XM. 8 hours ago, getting ready for work. 7 hours ago, going to Avicoli's for pizza. And then all the way up to the top, 36 minutes ago, just got out of work. Okay? Here's an example of something, again, changing mindset. This would have never occurred to me, ever. And it wouldn't have been possible 5 years ago. There's a guy, Hassan Elahi, who was mistakenly accused by the FBI, something I can relate to, of being a bad guy. And he was picked up, and he was accused of being a terrorist, and I don't know precisely what they did to him. It could have been anything from Guantanamo to giving him a spanking. But he didn't like it. And what was his solution? He set up a blog called TrackingTransients.com. And every couple of minutes, he posts where he is and stands in front of the place and takes a cell phone photo and uploads it. So if the FBI says, you were bombing the Greyhound bus station, he can say, no, I was at Domino's Pizza. And here's an example. Here's the photos of where he was. When I last looked at his site, which was about 2 weeks ago, present location on Friday, 27th of June, 2008, 7:48 in the morning, with photos and a little arrow. Now, granted, this is a really nervous guy. Maybe with reason, but this is not something that 10 years ago would have occurred to anybody or been possible.
And we're listening to Steve Rombaum from 2008 speaking at the Last Hope Conference, one of 18 talks that you get for a pledge of $75 to 631-632-9872. And boy, every Steve Rombaum talk is a real eye-opener. This one's 2 hours long. It's very visual as far as things he points out on the screen. So seeing it, hearing it on the radio is entertaining, but seeing it, you really get a whole lot out of it. I know, Kyle, you've seen some of his talks in the past, haven't you?
Yeah, I really enjoy the Privacy is Dead series. I think that's what the name is has mm-hmm. become. And I think, as you said, you don't always agree politically or whatever, but that aside, everybody in this community has something to offer, and you can learn and then be teaching in the same moment. And so I learned a lot from what Steve Rombaum had to say, and I really wised up as a result.
How'd you wise up?
Well, I saw a lot of the silliness, a lot of these new technologies that were like startup companies and, again, like the presence and location stuff. I mean, I had heard news about that, like telephones starting to be able to have presence be and time and location, that was all becoming integrated. That was, 10 years ago you're starting to hear about that. But mm-hmm. when, third-party, like, online startups are starting to use that information and have you submit that, it just felt so silly. And so I ended up getting rid of a lot of blogs and things that I realized once I thought about it that, why am I doing this? It's mm-hmm. it's a fad. It's like, I'm just signing up and doing all this work for essentially, a company, or basically doing all this work to provide information that could be used in weird ways against me. I'm not a paranoid person or anything, but I think Steve Rombaum taught me that if I want to even fool myself into thinking there's privacy, I really should take ownership mm-hmm. of my data.
Yes.
And kind of hack myself. Investigate yourself and test to see how much information is out there about you, just in public ways, not sort of the databases and the tools that he uses. But it's kind of interesting to kind of Google yourself or look yourself up every now and then, just to know what casual information is out there. But I canceled a bunch of accounts, and I had just realized I'd, started these accounts and not really realized it. It's just sort of maybe a friend suggested I do this or whatever, and didn't really weigh the consequences until I had heard this talk, and I was like, wow,
yeah,
I really should take ownership. Again, take control. I mean, that's kind of the gist I looked at it.
That shows the empowerment you can get just by listening to somebody who knows what they're talking about and who shows you examples of why this makes sense and why this is a stupid fad and something that can ultimately hurt you. And just the things you were saying about Twitter, keep in mind it's a bit outdated. It's maybe 3 years ago now. But I think they're up to 200 million people as opposed to 40 million people. But the warnings, they still hold true. And, I think that's, I've heard that so many times from people who have seen, Steve's talks, and this one's definitely no exception. 631-632-9872, join the person on the call, on the phone now. 631-632-9872, $75, you'll get that talk, plus 17 others, and a signed, autographed hacker calendar for $125, you get all that, plus over 20 years of the Off the Hook radio show.
Yeah, and it also, I felt a lot. I just one last thing about Steve. I just felt I was less naive about how I approached the possibility of people knowing things. I mean, if that information's out there, instead of wandering around thinking you have some obscurity or some amount of privacy just by default, I started approaching things more like it is possible that people could know things about me because of these kinds of databases. So that's just one example of the kind of learning that you can get out of this package and out of the HOPE conferences in general. There's a lot of information and a lot of really interesting and applicable things that you can glean from this stuff. So definitely please call in and support the station and get one of these packages. They're really, really rich with information.
You'll get the Steve Rombaum talk. You'll get Adam Savage. You'll get two different Kevin Mitnick talks. You'll get four Jello Biafra talks. Stephen Levy, who wrote the book Hackers. Dan Kaminsky, security expert. Jacob Applebaum from WikiLeaks. Aaron Magruder of Boondocks fame. Robert Steele, who started our very first conference back in 1994. So many good talks, and all of them really are conversation pieces that will educate you and keep you thinking for quite a long time. 631-632-9872, we only have 5 minutes left, and again, $75 gets you all the talks plus the Hacker Calendar. $125 gets you all the talks, the Hacker Calendar, and the entire Off the Hook audio archive. Quite a deal. 631-632-9872. It'd be good to see one more call come in before we leave. I want to thank Sean from Hopog for his pledge. And please join Sean and the others who have called in this hour. 631-632-9872. I'll tell you, the other radio station, the phones will be ringing off the hook for this because, no pun intended, this is something that is really an incredible deal. But the most important reason, as we've mentioned, is to support the radio station, keep it on the air, keep it strong, keep the voices speaking, and keep the dialogue going. We're seeing a lot of that on Wall Street. We're seeing a lot of dialogue. We're seeing people asking some hard questions and facing some inevitable truths. WUSB has been doing that since 1977, and with your help, we'll continue to do that until 2077. 631-632-9872. Are you the one last call to come in? Please dial that number.
Yeah, I'd like to also thank people personally for joining us tonight and getting these great premiums and help us plan for the future. We've got exciting things going on here at the station, and just in the next year there will be incredible transformation here, and you can be a part of making that happen. So please call in, get one of these packages, support community radio, support this show. We want to have our listeners sort of represent the kind of appreciation they have for what we do here and what Emmanuel does and all the other shows that are on this station. Please call in.
631-632-9872. We're out of time, but thanks to those calling in. Please join them. 631-632-9872. See you next time. Good night. Tout ça m'est
exactly how I know it's gonna be, baby. You are love the most and the closest I will tell you. But I have no regrets for loving you. Cause I see that you're interested in me, baby. And I always put my interest in you, yeah. Yeah, when I see that I never make you blue, never turn my back on you. Never, never do that in any way. I will tell you, say no regret. I may say no, no regret. I say that, I say it over and over and over again. Yeah, baby, see, come on, baby, I will tell you when I want to see you again.